Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter-Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. Commentary. Can this be a happy holiday for you? Social worker asks us to examine how the season can be best for us. If you are like most people, Halloween marks the beginning of the sliding slope to the, quote, big, unquote, holidays. Of course, the winter holiday season is filled with the spiritual meaning of the holy days you celebrate. But also, in some ways, Christmas has become a secular holiday season where it is expected that we take lots of time for special events and people. This is a mixed blessing for most, crowding their days, draining their finances, and opening personal and family conflicts or contrasts that are usually dormant. Can it be a happy holiday for you? Modesty. The lights, displays, and decor of the holiday are amazing. Maybe the church fathers had a good idea of having a major holiday during the darkest and most miserably cold time of the year. There is wisdom in deep winter of having a special gaudiness around us and special shiny or warm clothes while consuming lots of food and drink. The trick is not to have too much, so you are insane and broke, or too little, so that you are depressed, resentful, and lonely. Can modesty make it a happy holiday for you? Fairness. During the holidays, we often feel more like a member of our original family than our present family. Tradition and memories hold sway. So, on the day, the tug of war begins. Which grandma, which house, which county, state, country, which recipe, which children, which time for gifts to be opened, which liturgy? The potential inequities roll on, and this doesn't even begin to touch the strain of the stepfamily's decisions. So, parents and married couples sit down early, like July, and talk quietly and neutrally about a plan for your children and your own original families, and make it work. Can sharing the main holiday events with fairness make it a happy holiday for you? Love. Okay, this is a big, roomy word that means a lot of things. Search your mind and heart for a courageous love, an overarching love that can bolster you through the holiday downside. And each of us has our own private grimace for this downside, a revealing of the most poisonous of our family members' human character. Love is steely enough to get you through someone's drunkenness, petty cruelty, or a calculated rejection. Can love make it a happy holiday for you? Mischief. During the holidays, we need more childishness, mischief, silliness, and goofiness. Relax and allow the kids in your life to see you with a twinkle in your eye, singing, dancing, and making merry. How else will they know they'll still be okay even if they grow up? Toys, candy, and Santa can bring back the playfulness of everyday life for us all. Can fun and mischief make it a happy holiday for you? Sleep. Do you catch yourself napping in the dark days of winter, having a hard time staying awake? Our bodies were designed to be asleep when it is dark, as in mid-December, the darkest time of the year. Despite all the time demands of the holidays, you have to get enough sleep. Sleep deprivation can cause irritability, increase your appetite, and erode your driving reactions. So, allow for a little disappointment and get to bed. Can sleep make it a happy holiday for you? Prudence. Yes, I know this is an old-fashioned word and an unpopular concept, but isn't it what most of us struggle to have more of to remain healthy and balanced? Prudence speaks of an inner advocate for balance and a helpful inner judge to head off the harm of excess pleasures. Out-of-balance pleasures, too much fatty food, spiked punch, or sugary treats. And I don't have to describe how narrow this path is, because enjoying the delights of the season is still important. Can prudence make it a happy holiday for you? Joy. If I need to describe this quality too much, we've got trouble. One of the good tricks of the holiday season is that it creates many opportunities for joy. Joy is a mini miracle, a fleeting chance for wonder. When could joy sneak up on you? Are you sitting around with relatives hearing a story from another generation? Wrapping a gift for a child? Coming into a warm, quiet house after shopping? Mixing up your grandmother's recipe? Can joy make it a happy holiday for you? Imperfection. There are those things that go beyond stress for many during the holiday season. In the imperfection of our life journeys, you may have survived childhood trauma, marital betrayal, the illness of addiction, the burden of significant loss of all kinds. These big challenges can take some planning ahead, lining up the kinds of experiences or people that create robust support equal to tragedy. As the season grows near, Adapt an attitude of kindness and mercy for yourself. Renew your spiritual roots. Even with planning your support sources, there might be things that take you by surprise. Allow yourself to have grief, sadness, and fewer activities if it serves to honor the true weight of troubles you have in your history. Can accepting imperfection make it a happy holiday for you? Low-dose CT scan at Midland Memorial could be a lifesaver. About 10 years ago, my doctor recommended that I go to Midland Memorial Hospital for a low-dose CT scan because I had been a smoker for 40 years. Midland Memorial's low-dose CT scan found a small spot in the upper lobe of my right lung, which would have been too small for a conventional x-ray to see. I was fortunate to be able to go to MD Anderson for a diagnosis. After a PET scan and a biopsy, MD Anderson told me that I did not have cancer. It was the best news I'd ever heard from the doctor, other than it's a boy or it's a girl. Had the spot been cancerous, it would have been very treatable, and Midland Memorial Hospital CT scan likely would have saved my life. If you're a smoker, or you have been a smoker, I recommend that you go get a low-dose CT scan at Midland Memorial Hospital. It could save your life. How to avoid lung illnesses this year. The holidays are back to their pre-pandemic glories, with the airline industry already expecting record-breaking travel days. But your loved ones aren't the only ones coming to town this season. A team of highly contagious respiratory viruses may also visit, and they likely have no plans to leave anytime soon. Unseasonably early waves of the flu and RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus, are hitting cities across the U.S. and filling pediatric hospitals with sick children. While most older children and adults with healthy immune systems can fight such an infection with little issue, the viruses can still cause nasty symptoms like cough, congestion, fever, and body aches. It may seem like avoiding the circulating ailments is impossible, but public health experts say there are ways to lessen the likelihood of getting sick. Here's what you need to know to protect your family and friends as you celebrate the holidays. COVID measures work on other illnesses too. Though mask mandates are largely lifted and social distancing is a relic of the past, the same public health measures used to stop the spread of COVID-19 can also prevent RSV and flu infections, said Catherine Troisi, an infectious disease epidemiologist with UT Health Houston School of Public Health. Quote, "We know that masks work because we weren't seeing flu and RSV back at the beginning and middle of the pandemic when people were wearing masks," end quote, Troisi said. Practicing good health hygiene and teaching children how to do the same is also a good idea. This includes washing your hands before eating and coughing and sneezing into your elbow or a tissue rather than your hands, said Dr. Laura Romano, a hospitalist at Cook Children's in Fort Worth. Symptoms of RSV, the flu, COVID-19, and the common cold often look the same. Doctors can run tests to determine which infection someone has, but for most people, that knowledge won't change the course of treatment. Regardless of what type of virus someone, staying home until symptoms subside is the best way to avoid spreading the illness to others. Different people are affected differently. Some groups are more susceptible to severe illness from RSV, the flu, and COVID-19 than others. While RSV looks similar to a cold in most older children and adults, the virus can lead to hospitalization and even death in infants and the elderly. About 96% of inpatient beds at pediatric hospitals in North Texas are full as of Thursday, said Steve Love, president and CEO of the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council. Adult hospitals have also noted increases in flu patients. For people visiting loved ones who are high risk for serious infections, basic public health measures like masking, social distancing, and hand washing can go a long way, said Dr. Gilberto Salazar, an emergency physician at Parkland Health and associate professor of emergency medicine at UT Southwestern Medical Center. Quote, "Folks who have family members who are particularly vulnerable, like very young children or folks with respiratory illnesses, I think they should proceed with caution," end quote, Salazar said. Quote, "I'm never going to be extreme about things, but having some additional caution is going to be worthwhile," end quote. Prevention is the best medicine. Getting vaccinated is still one of the most effective ways to prevent getting severely sick from the flu or COVID-19. There is no RSV vaccination, although scientists are working to develop one. The body takes about 2 weeks to develop antibodies against the viruses after vaccination, so it's not too late to get protected for holiday celebrations in December. It's safe to receive both the flu and COVID-19 vaccines on the same day. Anyone 6 months and older can receive the flu shot and the initial COVID-19 vaccine series. The new bivalent booster dose, which protects against both the original and Omicron COVID-19 strains, is available for anyone 5 and older who received their previous COVID-19 dose at least 2 months prior. Era of Hope for Patients with Lung Cancer. November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the most common cancer worldwide, with more than 2.1 million cases, according to the American Lung Association. Advancements in lung cancer management, from early diagnosis through treatment, are improving patient outcomes. Quote, lung cancer is not a death sentence anymore, end quote, said Dr. Rami Manachakian, a Mayo Clinic thoracic oncologist and lung cancer specialist. Quote, there is a lot that can be done for patients with lung cancer, end quote. Historically, chemotherapy was the only available treatment for patients with advanced lung cancer. Now, newer and more effective therapies are available through a personalized approach. Quote, every patient's cancer tissue gets tested for biomarkers to look for actionable mutations or alterations that are believed to be the drivers of the cancer growth, end quote, Manachakian said. Quote, if we find one of these mutations, which we have many at this point that have FDA-approved drugs or FDA-approved therapies, we will give that particular patient this drug that is targeting that change or that mutation, end quote. The advancement in surgical and radiation therapies for early-stage lung cancer, as well as newer therapies for advanced lung cancer, such as targeted therapies and immunotherapy, are why Manachakian says it's a new era. Quote, I would call it an era of hope for patients with lung cancer, because we are able to cure lung cancer at an early stage, and we are able to treat cancer at a later stage, end quote, Manachakian said. Quote, we're in an era where we're telling patients we have newer and better treatments that could help them live longer and live better, end quote. Strategies to quit smoking. Smoking is the leading cause of preventable death in the U.S. and a listed risk factor for numerous diseases. Quote, I think the reasons for quitting are primarily to avoid the adverse health effects, live longer, and live better, end quote, said Dr. J. Taylor Hayes, director of the Mayo Clinic Nicotine Dependence Center. The addictive nature of smoking can be traced to nicotine, a chemical that alternates between stimulant and depressant. Hayes says reducing cravings requires a combined approach of behavioral and medication therapy. Quote, it's generally the same for all addictions, that we want to change the way people think and the way they behave surrounding the use of the substance, end quote, Hayes said. Avoiding triggers, trying exercise and relaxation techniques, and leaning on a support system are just a few tips to consider when quitting. The results can reduce stress and improve overall health. Quote, even though people use smoking as a stress reliever, it probably creates more stress, end quote, Hayes said. Quote, we know that people who quit have a significant reduction in psychological distress, end quote. Winter blues can last 5 months, but treatments are available. Feeling sad or hopeless, sleepier than usual, and lacking energy in recent weeks? These mood changes could be a sign of seasonal affective disorder, SAD, SAD, a type of depression that recurs each year for about 4 to 5 months, most often beginning when the days get shorter in the fall and ending when longer hours of daylight return in the spring and summer. Sometimes called, quote, winter blues, end quote, the seasonal depression affects about 5% of the U.S. population and afflicts women far more often than men, according to the nonprofit group Mental Health America. In some regions, however, the tally is considerably higher. In general, the farther you live from the equator, the greater your risk for winter blues. Health experts generally agree that reduced levels of sunlight in fall and winter months can lead to changes in body chemicals. Lowering levels of serotonin, which has been linked to depression, and increasing levels of melatonin, which affects the body's internal clock and can lead to sleepiness. Other symptoms of SAD include carbohydrate craving, an increase in appetite overall, and weight gain. Treatment for SAD varies, depending on the severity of the condition and its effect on one's daily life. Treatment frequently includes light therapy, sitting in front of a very bright light box for about 45 minutes a day, and may also entail talk therapy and antidepressant medication. Although the winter disorder is by far the most common type of sad. Some people experience the mood changes of seasonal depression in the spring and summer months, known as summer pattern sad or summer depression.
A question for Dr. Roach. My healthy 91-year-old mother recently discovered that she has a diagnosis of trigger finger. She is hesitant to do surgery, but is hoping for more mobility in her hand. What are some of the best options for an independent woman at her age? And Dr. Roach's answer, trigger finger is a common issue, especially for people in their 40s and 50s, somewhat more common in women. It's called trigger finger because the finger gets stuck in the flexed position, and when it is straightened out, it snaps like a trigger being pulled and released. The condition often starts out painless, but many progress to painful episodes or even being unable to unlock the finger. Some people have more than one finger affected. There are many strategies for conservative management. One that has data behind it is splinting the affected finger, which is effective in many people, but it may take 6 to 10 weeks. Avoiding activities that have caused the condition, pinching the fingers is a common one, may help. I have had readers write in to tell me that moving the finger, one person said underwater, helped, and quite a few have written to me to say that the condition just went away after a year or two. I refer people who continue to have symptoms despite conservative management to a hand surgeon who can inject an anti-inflammatory steroid in the sheath the tendon goes through to try to keep the tendon from getting stuck. Although hand surgeons can treat this surgically, I have not had a patient have to go through the operation very often, as most people will get better by the third injection.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman's second marriage gets the cold shoulder. Dear Abby, I left a manipulative and abusive marriage after 18 years. My parents fully supported my decision. When I became engaged to the wonderful man who is now my husband, my mother and many other family members told me that second weddings were not important, and I should have just gone to the courthouse. I had a very small wedding. Even my parents didn't get us a gift. Mom wouldn't help with planning either. My husband and I paid for everything, and said I didn't deserve gifts for a second wedding. All totaled, we received 5 gifts from 50 guests. I didn't expect anything and was grateful for what we did get. But the assumption that this marriage wasn't important because it is my second hurt me very much. Am I wrong for being so deeply hurt? Signed, Happier Now in the South. Dear Happier, you stated that your first husband was manipulative and abusive. Is it also true about the household in which you were raised? I can understand why you would be hurt and offended by what your mother said. It was cruel, dismissive, and unnecessary. In fact, it was so tactless I cannot help but wonder if it was calculated to hurt. If this is typical of her, it may be time to reevaluate your relationship, protect yourself, and step back. Remember, your best revenge is your happy marriage. Dear Abby, the other night I had to go to the ER for severe knee pain. After being seen and released, I called my son to come and pick me up. It was 11:30 at night. Neither he nor my daughter-in-law answered the phone. The next day, his wife told me they have full-time jobs. Both work at the hospital. My grandson said, his mom isn't mad at me, but I feel so hurt. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Signed, No Response in Virginia. This unfortunate event should be a lesson for the future. Have a talk with your son and daughter-in-law. The three of you need to come to an understanding about what should happen in the event you have a medical emergency. This includes not only who should provide transportation, but also what kind of supervision you might need. You should also have an advance directive in place that includes who should be contacted in case you are unable to speak for yourself. Dear readers, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and no Thanksgiving would be complete without my sharing the traditional prayer penned by my dear late mother. O Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank Thee for health and remember the sick. We thank Thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank Thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service, that Thy gifts to us may be used for others. Amen. Have a happy and safe celebration, everyone. Love, Abby. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.